You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence. And they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
His name is Chris Taylor. You may have actually know the name very well. It's been very publicized here in the Arizona media and the Arizona press.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran this November.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse.
We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week. A relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
All right, everybody, welcome to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I am your host, Chris Taylor, and today it's Sunday. The 17th. I never have my watch on, and my phone is always recording. And so, right here on my computer. It's January 17th, and it's a Sunday, and it's about noon. My family will be coming home about 6 p.m., so I'm trying real hard to bank at least two more episodes here so I can just spend quality time with them. They've been gone for three days, four days. I'm looking forward to that. I woke up this morning with the news that Alexei Navalny, you may have heard that name before. He is the Russian opposition leader, of course, to Vladimir Putin. And for those of you who don't really understand the situation in Russia, for those of you who may have understood it sort of, and then with the whole Russia thing, you felt like if you seemed to be anti-Russia at all, then that would mean you'd be anti-Trump, which I never understood that. If the president was honest and said that he had nothing to do with the Russians, the Russians had no blackmail on him, he had nothing to do with them, then why wouldn't it be okay for the Republican Party, who have always been the harshest critics, the Russia hawks? They've always seen Vladimir Putin as for what he is, absent the time that President George W. Bush first met Putin, and you know, who knows what that was about, saying that he looked into his soul and he saw him to be a
you know, I don't know what the words he said, but basically he's an honorable, trustworthy, righteous dude, and we could trust him. You know, who knows what that was. Strongmen like to be, they like their ego stroked. And so I tend to believe that, yeah, George W. Bush was a brand new president. George W. Bush was not always the most brightest guy. So it's possible that he could have just completely been deceived by Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is a trained Russian KGB agent. The way that he took power in what really was a coup, but it was a deception. He did it with, you know, what I'm trying to say is he didn't steal power, but he worked his way into the inner workings of the government using his grand disinformation, deception, psychological warfare skills, and he took over in a way that nobody really saw coming. He was a trained KGB agent. He was a powerful guy, but he really didn't rise to power the way that historically Russian strongmen have come to power. He worked his way in like a snake and instigated a lot of things that made it to where he was right there when it was time to hand over power. He was the vice president or the prime minister, and now here he is 20 years later, still in power and moving ever so fastly towards complete authoritarian rule. Alexei Navalny is the guy who, in terms that maybe you can understand, this is Joe Biden to Vladimir Putin's Donald Trump. So, you know, this is the guy that has been, who would be president, perhaps, if there was actually democratic elections in Russia. You want to talk about stolen elections. You want to talk about fraudulent elections. You want to talk about not trusting the government. Look no further than Russia, Vladimir Putin's Russia. Okay, Alexei Navalny was poisoned several months ago. Of course, by the Russian FSB, the CIA of Russia, right? Vladimir Putin's secret police. This article from CNN says Russia's leading opposition figure and chief Kremlin critic, Alexei Navalny, was detained by local police on Sunday, moments after his return to the country. He was taken away by police officers at the border without explanation. His spokesperson, Kira Yarmish, tweeted, quote, "The lawyer was not allowed to go with him because just seconds ago he passed the border." Navalny and his wife, Yulia, were returning from a five-month stay in Germany where he recovered from poisoning with military-grade nerve agent Novichok. They landed at Moscow's, with these names, I don't speak Russian, Sheremetyevo Airport just after 8 p.m. local time or 12 noon Eastern time in the United States, according to flight data information. Standing in the airport after landing, Navalny told journalists, quote, "This is the best day in the past 5 months. Everyone is asking me if I'm scared. I'm not afraid." He added, "I feel completely fine walking towards the border control. I know that I will leave and go home because I'm right, and all the criminal cases against me are fabricated." I'm going to stop right there. Dude, what are you thinking? 5 months ago, you were poisoned by Vladimir Putin, and by some miracle, you are alive. You survived, and you had to flee to Germany in exile because, first of all, so he was on probation for corruption charges. Now, it very well may be that this dude is corrupt. This guy may be a complete fake. He's just another Russian strongman who is playing the role of liberator, of democracy, the freedom fighter, so that he can get the backing of the Western states of NATO to take out Vladimir Putin, or take power, and then he'll become, you know, just as bad. That it may be, okay. I'm not saying that this guy is a above boards guy. But it's laughable that he was charged, and him and his brother was jailed. He was given a suspended sentence for fraud, and so he was poisoned, because even after, you know, they charged him, they threw his brother in jail, he did not stop his outspoken advocacy for free and fair elections, anti-Putin rhetoric, pro-democracy rhetoric. And so they attempted to kill him, and that's what they do. They kill journalists, they kill opposition leaders, they kill anyone who seems that they may be up and coming to take power away from Vladimir Putin. And this guy was no different. And he survived, and he went to Germany to convalesce, to recover. The Germans took care of him. And why would you go back right now? Like, why? I don't understand it. And I do get it. You know, someone say, well, why can't he just run things online and be an opposition leader online? Well, that's because Russia actually censors political speech, and they won't allow, you know, this guy's messages to be on anything where any Russian citizen could see. So I guess I understand if this guy, and that goes for the regular media as well. The state media is run by Vladimir Putin. You talk about CNN is in the bag for Biden or Clinton or Obama. You don't even know what you're talking about. Yes, there's bias in our press. Yes, there's a liberal slant to our media. But my God, look at Russia. So this guy had really no choice. If he wants to fight for his country and he wants to truly fight for freedom, he has to go back to Russia. But so he got on a plane. He was going to Moscow, back to Moscow. So he was on probation for that fraud case, and then he was poisoned. And so if he didn't die. So if he would have convalesced in Russia, they simply would have finished the job. I mean, they would have, you know, somebody messed up, some young FSB agent, that was given the chance to endear himself to the oligarchs and to, Vladimir Putin. He did something wrong. Maybe it was the chemist that made the agent that wasn't strong enough. I don't know. Somebody died as a result of failing to kill Navalny. Okay, but anyway, so he has to go to Germany to recover, because that nerve agent is no joke. There's long lasting effects, and this is right during the time of COVID. And so, you know, the pictures of him returning, he's in a mask because I'm sure his whole, his organs, his body are weak because of the nerve agent that nearly killed him. So let me pick it back up here. a perennial thorn in Russian President Vladimir Putin's side. Navalny was placed on the country's federal wanted list, so the like the FBI's most wanted list, but in Russia, during his convalescence in Germany, in relation to a years-old fraud case that Navalny dismisses as politically motivated. Could very well be politically motivated, of course, but it also could be that this guy is just a you know, standard form opposition to Vladimir Putin. He just wants some of those billions for himself, and he has an anti-corruption, pro-democracy organization that you know is he raises money, and it's alleged by Vladimir Putin and the Russians that he basically was just skimming and stealing from that fund to enrich himself. Like I said, that could very well be true. But the fact that Vladimir Putin is you know playing the role of some anti-corruption guy, he's you know there the Russian government is arresting this man, you know, because he is skimming money off of his charity or off of his organization is just laughable. Because of course, you know, Vladimir Putin and a select group of oligarchs control absolutely everything from every industry, every business. They get kickbacks from every single business in Russia. It's said that Vladimir Putin is in fact the richest man in the world. Not Elon Musk, not Jeff Bezos, not Bill Gates, that all sit around $200 billion. But Vladimir Putin is pushing the $300 billion mark. He hides it well. He gets a modest salary from his job as the president of Russia. But in reality, he is sitting on a personal net worth that is just out of this world. Much like Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. He was actually the richest man in the world when he was killed. He had well over $200 billion. And this is back when Bill Gates and them still were sitting around 80, 90 billion, right? 75 billion. So this same with Vladimir Putin. So anyway, where was I? Okay. So last week, Russia's prison authority warned it would take all action to detain Navalny. After Navalny's poisoning in August, a joint investigation by CNN and the group Bellingcat implicated the Russian Security Service, the FSB, in the poisoning, of course, piecing together how an elite unit at the agency followed Navalny's team throughout a trip to Serbia in August, where Navalny was poisoned and fell ill on a flight to Moscow. The investigation also found that this unit, which included chemical weapons experts, had followed Navalny on more than 30 trips to and from Moscow since 2017. Russia denies involvement in Navalny's poisoning, but several Western officials and Navalny himself have openly blamed Russia. I would too. I think it's safe to say that that's probably what happened. So, as he got on the flight this morning or this evening in Russia, the flight was diverted. Navalny had originally been scheduled to land at, the Vnukovo airport, where a crowd of hundreds of supporters and journalists waited. So, it was he told people where he'd be landing, and he had hundreds of his supporters that braved the elements. For one, it was -4 degrees Fahrenheit there, but also braved the crackdown by the authoritarian rule of Vladimir Putin to go and show this man their support. So the FSB got wind that there was a sizable gathering there to welcome this hero home. And so what happened? The flight was diverted. CNN has been unable to establish why the flight was diverted. The 2.5-hour flight by Russian carrier Pobeda took off from Berlin's Brandenburg Airport on Sunday afternoon. Russian media broadcasts showed police arresting several allies awaiting for him at Nukovo, despite temperatures of around negative 20 degrees Celsius or negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit, including politician and lawyer Lyubov Sobol and Ruslan Shvedinov, who works for Navalny's anti-corruption foundation. Before departing Berlin, Navalny had thanked all the other passengers on his flight. And there's pictures of the whole flight is clapping for him and taking cell phone videos of him and praising him as a hero, a freedom fighter. And this is not good for Vladimir Putin, who has an iron fist on things in his country. He cracks down on any type of display like that. Sorry, I just kicked my camera and I probably kicked it out of screen. Dang it. Give me one second. All right, we're good. Sorry about that. Gotta remember that. Okay. And so he took pictures with people. He thanked all of the passengers on his flight. According to a live feed from TV Rain, he says, "Thanks to you all. I hope we all get there fine. I'm sure everything will be absolutely great. Like, I hope this airliner doesn't get shot out of the sky," basically what I think he was saying there. "Thanks to all of you for making this big scene. I hope we all get there fine." In an Instagram post on Saturday, Navalny also wrote a post to thank Germany, adding that the Germans were nice, sympathetic, and friendly people. Doctors and nurses, physical therapists and police officers, a lot of cops, the neighbors who invited us to drink, and those who allowed us to rent. Politicians and lawyers, shopkeepers, journalists, the prosecutors who interrogated me on request from Russia, coaches, teachers, and even once the chancellor. Angela Merkel. "I had quite a wide circle of friends here, and I can only say a huge thanks to everyone." Why not just stay in Germany, dude? You could have been a great something. I don't know. What's next for Navalny? Navalny, who has been detained by the Russian authorities many times, was placed on the country's most wanted list during his time in Germany at the request of the Russian prison authority, which in December accused him of violating probation terms in a years-old fraud case that Navalny dismisses as politically motivated. So get this. He was from what they're claiming, he was in violation of his terms of probation to check in with his probation officer, because he was in Germany recovering from a military-grade nerve agent attack on his body. So they violated his probation. That's why he was arrested today. The FSB poisoned him in August when he was the clear opposition leader to Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin's biggest threat to take the reins of power away from him, and they tried to kill him, didn't work. He fled to Germany to recover, and he was on probation from an earlier fraud case. And now the second that he returns, he's arrested on a probation violation. I mean, if I was poisoned by a military nerve agent and I had to go somewhere to recover, I would have somebody call my probation officer and say, "Hey, I'm in the hospital. I can have my doctor write you a letter. I will check in when I get back. But people are trying to kill me. And please tell the judge that I'm not trying to flee my probation. I'm not trying to abscond. I am simply dying from a nerve agent attack by the secret police. But of course, the way that it works there is the probation department, the prison authority, the FSB, down to every local cop is in the pocket of Vladimir Putin. So of course, he couldn't just do that. That was a joke. That was a sarcasm, right? So he had been in violation of terms of his suspended sentence for failing to show up for scheduled inspections. Wow. So when you're on probation, you have to show up for, you know, all kinds of things, to check in, to do a urine analysis, if, you know, whatever. You have to you have to allow the cops or the probation into your home to check for illegal items all the time. You're never free from that. You don't get to say it's you need a warrant or it's my right. No, you're on probation. They can turn your life upside down if they want. So in Russia, it's probably the same. He had to check in and he had scheduled inspections, scheduled, you know, things, but he failed to show up because he was in Germany recovering from a nerve agent attack. So that was the charge that they got him on today. The FSIN, which is the prison authority in Russia, has requested that the court replace his suspended sentence with the real prison term. A hearing has been scheduled for January 29th. And if the request is satisfied, Navalny will likely be jailed for 3.5 years. Just enough time for Vladimir Putin to serve another presidential term. Mind you, after he's already changed the Russian constitution to allow him to basically be president for life if the Russian people continue to vote for him and elect him. In 2014, Navalny was found guilty of fraud after he and his brother Oleg were accused of embezzling 30 million rubles. That sounds like a lot, and it is. It's actually only 540,000 US dollars. Still a lot of money. The 30 million rubles sounds better. From a Russian subsidiary of French cosmetics company, Yves Rocher. So they embezzled money from a Russian subsidiary of a French cosmetics company. See, so this guy probably is not all on the up and up. If he has ties to Russian subsidiaries of French cosmetic companies, he's involved in anti-corruption foundations. But like I said, again, the fact that these are the things that Vladimir Putin, of all people, are arresting this man on, you know, it's funny and laughable. It says if Navalny is convicted later in January, he will still face, or if he is not convicted, he will still face an investigation for a newer fraud case in which he and his anti-corruption foundation have been accused of misusing donations from his supporters. Putin, who refuses to acknowledge Navalny as a legitimate opponent, has described the extensive media coverage and investigations into the poisoning as a fabrication by Western intelligence. So the U.S., Germany, France, Great Britain, you know, United Kingdom. And he said in December that if Russian security services had wanted to kill Navalny, they would have finished the job. Like I said, I tend to agree with that, but there has been, in recent years, some failures with poisoning dissidents. The Ukrainian president, I can't think of his name at this time, but he was an anti-Putin guy, a pro-US, pro-West, pro-Western democracy type of guy. He was poisoned, and he did not die. So, Vlad, you've got to get some better chemists in your chemical weapons programs, because the nerve agent that they're giving to your FSB agents to kill people are not doing the job that they used to do during the Cold War. You need an overhaul of the system. I mean, that's a good out to say if the Russians wanted to kill him, we would have accomplished it very easily. The situation with Navalny looks like two trains running towards each other at full speed. They're bound to collide, said Tatiana Stanovoya, a visiting fellow also at the Carnegie Moscow Center. There will be many victims. Attacks on Navalny's allies have indeed continued. Pavel Zelensky, a cameraman with Navalny's Anti-Corruption Foundation, was arrested on Friday and will be detained until the end of February. According to Agora, a Russian human rights organization, Zelensky was accused of extremism for tweets from September in which he blamed the government for journalist Irina Slavina's self-immolation.
Wow.
Before taking her own life, Slavina blamed pressure from Russian law enforcement on her decision to self-immolate. What is that? I've heard of that before. Am I going to get grossed out? Self-immolation. Oh. As a certified firefighter, I should have known that. A deliberate and willing sacrifice of oneself, often by fire. Sacrifice of oneself by fire. So setting yourself on fire. So Zelensky was accused of extremism for tweets from September in which he blamed the government for journalist Irina Slavina's self-immolation. She set herself on fire, and this guy, who's a cameraman with Navalny's Anti-Corruption Foundation, blamed the Russian government for setting her on fire. And she didn't die. They had to kill, they had to, before taking her own life, their disinformation campaign on the American people using the existing social media networks that at that time did not crack down one bit. They saw all of that revenue coming in from Russia, passed through shell corporations to look like it was coming from the United States. All of this grassroots enthusiasm that was actually Russian bot farms attacking people like Mitt Romney and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I remember it so clearly. There was every single day there was a new viral news story from some obscure website that nobody had ever heard of that made it look like it was legitimate by saying like instead of abcnews.com it was abcnews1.net or something crazy, but it looked legitimate, so people would share it and it would be like, oh, there's pedophiles in this pizza joint in New York and they're out to it was the origins of QAnon, basically. The whole Pizzagate thing, there was just all of this stuff that did influence people. You forget to realize how gullible people are, how vulnerable they are, how much they want to give in to their confirmation bias. And Russia played that like a fiddle. They knew exactly what themes and words to use, and they played on everybody's worst fears, and now in 2020 they have launched a cyber attack, an unprecedented attack. Who knows still what they've gotten, what they stole, what they know, the secrets they have that they were able to steal from that hack. But we can't get serious and talk about it, because then that would be somehow giving in to the narrative that Russia stole the election for Donald Trump. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The Mueller investigation proved or did not find evidence of that, but they did indict like 30 people. Many of them were people who had open door access to the president. Manafort, Roger Stone, Papadopoulos, Carter Page, all these people that were involved in some level. And then not only that, but the Russian agents that they were able to identify, indict, and get guilty verdicts and pleas. It was not a hoax. It was not all a made-up thing. Russia is our enemy. They've always been our enemy. Go back and watch Rocky movies. Or Red Dawn or all those movies in the 80s. Russia's not our friend, and they never have been, and they never will be. They are playing us, and they influence us, and we should band together at least to denounce Vladimir Putin. I mean, it's just so bizarre. Every single intelligence agency in our nation are in unison about this. They are our biggest geopolitical foe right now. China's there too. We've got to wake up. I mean, in the 21st century, tanks don't need to be pouring over our borders. Russian troops don't need to be paratrooping into our lands for them to destroy us. Listening to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor.